Alliance Bank of Central Texas.
All right, welcome back into the program. This is Game Time here on ESPN Central Texas. Tom Ward and Aaron, we're glad you're with us. We're joined now by Ricky Thompson from Alliance Bank. Ricky, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, guys, doing good.
Okay, you got to solve a little mystery for us. I mean, we know that from the politically correct thing, it's no longer the Washington Redskins. It's the Washington football team. But when you played, you were a Washington Redskin. Is that correct?
That's very accurate.
So we can refer to you as a former Washington Redskin. Is that correct?
I would appreciate that.
But we were talking about it during the break. Like, what is the correct way to do this when referring to former players in the franchise back in the day when they were actually the Washington Redskins? I mean, you know, so.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate. I think 99% of those of us that played when it was the Washington Redskins would say that's who we played for. This football team will be in the same town, but not the same name, which to me makes it a different team. So, yeah, I think most of the guys I played with would say Redskins and would live with that proudly, and whatever the new team is, it is.
And so I want to hang on here just a second. Seriously, you consider it a different football team then?
I really do. I know it's the same town. It's the same franchise legally, but to me, it's a different team. I really do. I'm going to always have a hard time not being a Washington fan, but this does change that some. Let me make it clear, not to the point of being a Cowboys fan. That won't happen.
That was going to be my next question.
I'll answer that one for you.
Are you coming over to our team?
No, I'm not coming over to the dark side. I'm going to stay where I am.
That's awesome. Oh, my. All right, let's dive into this thing. Ricky, the start last week could not have been scripted any better for the Baylor offense. 3 possessions and 21 points.
Yeah, you know what? And they were impressive drives at that. And I thought the biggest drive was the first one. When Iowa State punches you in the mouth, mm-hmm. goes 75 yards, 10 plays, I guess, runs five and a half minutes off the clock, round figures, and punches that thing in, 7-0, you're reeling a little bit if you come back out there and go 3-and-out. That's a problem. And I think that first drive where Bohannon answered with a run in for the score with some big plays along the way, I think that was the biggest drive of those three to me.
Ricky, when you look at that football game, and we were talking about this just a minute ago, you've been in those situations. Talk a little bit about how Coach Grimes is managing this football team with Bohannon at quarterback. It certainly appears that he's not putting him in a position to fail. He's constantly putting him in a position to be successful.
Well, I think that's right, and I think part of that's reflected in 4 games, 0 interceptions. Now, I credit a lot of that with Gary. There's been some possessions where he really had the opportunity to put the ball at risk. He's not done that. I thought the throw to Tyquan Thornton for the touchdown, not many people realize his progression there, but he pulled his main target was Ben Sims. Sims was running the seam down the middle from the tight end position. They hit him later for a touchdown, but he was bracketed on that play, inside-out coverage, and Gary immediately came off him and went to the fade and made what was a perfect throw. Tyquan Thornton made a great catch on the ball, no question, but that showed me something there. To come off him, not throw that ball into what would have been double coverage to a guy that appeared open briefly, but he didn't make that throw, and that shows me that Sean Bell, Grimes, this whole offensive group has done a pretty good job with Gary, and he's listened and learned.
Ricky,
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Ward.
Ricky, special teams certainly was a big player for the Baylor Bears last week, and really having the big plays but not allowing big plays for the other team. How important is that moving forward for them to have those, not necessarily have those big plays, but just not allow a big play in special teams?
Well, Ward, it's huge. I think – when you go back to that football game, and I think when we talked last Friday, I told you I thought this was going to be a really good game. I think the Bears can play with these guys. Obviously, we didn't know what the score was going to be. We didn't know if it'd be a win. I think in a game like this that the Bears won, and to me, really didn't play that well. They can play a lot better. They had a lot of penalties. They killed themselves on some drives. They let Iowa State keep the football, keep possession with some key penalties. They did hold them out of the end zone for field goals. But then you kick that thing back to special teams, and that's the difference. Iowa State goes down and pulls to within what would it have been, 23-16, and then the Bears are 21-16, kick off, and Ebner goes 98 yards for a score. We partially block a punt. I thought we had two of the best punts I've seen in two or three years in that ball game, one of which nearly resulted in a turnover that was, what, a 57-yard punt? The next one was caught, fair caught, at around the 15. It just seemed that every aspect of the special teams were working, and they had to be on a night or a day when you weren't playing your best football, really on either side of the ball, particularly in the second half. And to still win that game, I think it was one with special teams and a lot of grit.
I'm going to take you back to those fast 21 points. After that, as you mentioned, they didn't get a lot done offensively, and they certainly didn't get anything done offensively in the second half. What do you think the difference was? Was it an adjustment by the Cyclones? Was it Baylor kind of maybe going a little conservative? I mean, what did you see from the sideline that said, okay, they're not moving the football, and here's why?
Well, I think it was both. Iowa State definitely changed their scheme defensively, and they started – playing the run a lot harder. If you watch their linebackers, they were right off the bat. You saw a couple of run blitzes on early downs. I think they decided we're going to stop that one way or the other. I think they started dropping safeties to stop the tight end seams and the passing plays. And then I thought, too, maybe we got conservative in the second half. I think it was some of both. And I think that was warranted. The only one that I questioned, and I'm not a coach, and it ended up being the field goal that won the game. I thought when Ebner returned the punt to the 25, I thought we might take a shot or two down there because you're really already in field goal position.
I said the same thing,
you know,
Ricky.
The old receiver's thinking, man, let's take a shot here. Let's see if we can punch it in. You punch it in the end zone, it's game over.
You're at the 13, I think it was. Even if you get sacked right there, you're still in field goal range. I thought they would take at least one shot at the end zone.
I did too. And I think with a quarterback you have that's not throwing an interception and receivers that can go up and get the ball, I tell you what, Tyquan and R.J. Snead will go get that football. And I think Ben Sims is in that group. I think you throw it to him and see what happens because that puts the game away and you've got them really on their heels and you had not done much offensively running the ball. But we get the field goal and win the game. So can't argue with that. But, yeah, I thought we were pretty conservative there on that drive.
Ricky, how important is it going into Stillwater just for the offense just to be more consistent throughout the ball game?
On the road, Ward, it's critical. I mean, this is a tough place to play. And I think I talked to a Tulsa radio station this morning and talked about the difference in playing on the road in the afternoon or at 11 o'clock in the morning or at night. It's almost two different ball games. I just think a night game on the road in conference play is a very, very tough scenario, particularly at Oklahoma State with these tight sidelines. I mean, literally the fans can reach down and touch our guys when they're sitting on the bench. Close quarters, you can imagine that those folks in the stands aren't very quiet, and some of the things they say probably aren't for repeating, and you've got to get past that. You've got to get past the crowd. But I don't put anything past this team. I think we are legitimately a good football team, and I think this night game at Oklahoma State will really be a test. But I think that we're capable of going up there and playing with these guys and winning this game if we play our A game.
Ricky, that is a great point. We were talking about it last week. They're 3-0. Do we really know who they are? Do we really know anything about this football team? Well, after the Iowa State game, a lot of questions were answered. This is a good football team.
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, you look at Iowa State, they've got two NFL tight ends. Unless I'm mistaken, I think Mr. Hall is going to be an NFL running back, and he is really, really talented. Brock Purdy is off and on, but defensively, All-American linebacker, great defensive football team, and you beat those guys. And again, I'm telling you guys, we did not play our best game. We shot ourselves in the foot several times, had some terrible penalties, and still managed to make the plays when you had to win the game, much like Apu deflecting that ball and Garmin intercepting. Man, what a stop that is. There's going to be points on the board there. Maybe just a field goal, but that field goal wins the dang game. So we made the plays we had to, which proved to me we're pretty dang good.
Yeah, and you know, when they're down there going for two, you've got Bernard obviously on the bench, and you got Petrie on the bench with cramps. I mean, you've got two of your better defenders on the sideline when they're going for two, yet you get the stop and you actually get the pick to secure the victory.
Yeah, we did, and that was a heck of a pass rush. I mean, Purdy was going backwards when he threw it. He had no choice but to throw it up, and we saw him earlier in the game just throw one up for grabs for, a 20-yard gain and a first down. I don't even know how he got it off, and he couldn't have seen where he was throwing that one, but Breece Hall caught that ball for a first down. But JT Woods made a great play on the ball. He went up, got it at its high point, intercepted it, and then here go the flags again. I didn't know what for at the time, but apparently – couple guys took off helmets. Then they tried to penalize us all the way to the 35.
Yeah, they were going to do two of them.
Good grief. Yeah, but even kicking off at the 50, just if they recover that onside kick, that's at least the 39, 38-yard line. They're in field goal position already. It's a long kick, but they've got a kick to win the game.
All right, Rick, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Ward.
Ricky, is this a game that you look at going up to Stillwater? You mentioned the hostile situation and the fans there are very loud. Is this one you talk to your defense and say, okay, we're putting this on you. Take this fan base out of this game.
Yeah, Ward, I think a defense can do that. But you know what the other thing is? An offense that takes a kickoff and goes 75 yards down your throat can take them out of it too. So I think you can do that on both sides. Defensively, with this team, Oklahoma State, you've got a running back that's been over 200 yards the last 2 weeks, either the run or the run and the reception side. So, yeah, you're going to have to stop them. Spencer, quarterback, is a threat. They've got always playmakers at Oklahoma State. Have we ever played them when they didn't have them? So they're up there. They're tough. Against the run game, 87 yards a game is what they're allowing. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? We play Iowa State, and they're allowing, 50 a game, whatever it may be. I just think it's really important to drive the football offensively. I know we've got to stop them, but I think maybe this one could be the reverse of that, that it's going to be really important that this offense doesn't get stuffed early and make our defense – be out there time of possession coverage-wise too much early in this game and then wear out in the late part of the game. So we've got to move the football.
Let's talk about a couple other games in the Big 12. Rick, Texas and TCU, I mean, this is, I think, an important game for the Frogs.
Well, it is. I think they're reeling a little bit. The loss to SMU, obviously we've heard Patterson's comments on that. Don't need to say much else about that, but they lose this one, and I think they're really reeling. But how many times have we said that about TCU and Texas, and TCU's 7-2 against those guys? They just seem to have their number. They're always ready to play them, and I fully expect that they will be this Saturday. We'll see how Sarkisian has done or is really doing when they play TCU this weekend. I expect that game will be close.
And the other one I wanted you to comment on is the Texas Tech West Virginia. We all know how tough it is to go to Morgantown, and Tech is coming off a game where they gave up 70 points. So, Matt Wells, they better figure it out real fast.
Yeah, they better, and I'm not sure they will in West Virginia. That's a really tough place to play. I think West Virginia's offense is pretty good. They get quarterback is talented, great arm. Tech's defense, man, they didn't look good at all last week against Texas. Now, I thought Texas played really well, but they've struggled defensively. I think that'll be a tough row to hoe for Tech and Morgantown. I'd have to take the Mountaineers in that one.
All right, Rick. Again, so bottom line, Baylor wins the football game because
they run the football, hit a couple of play action plays deep. And I tell you the other thing, I think Bohannon has to make a couple of big runs. He was in a position last week a couple of times when I thought he waited and then threw it away when he could have run for 10 or 15 yards. And those coaches watch them. They've seen that, and I think Gary makes a couple of big runs. Defensively, just stop the big 40, 50-yard plays and play our game, and I think the Bears have a chance to win this thing.
All right, buddy. Tell us about Alliance Bank Central Texas and all the fun things that are going on over there on a Friday afternoon.
Well, I tell you what, we've had a really good week. We're still working hard on getting a new branch open. Things are really going well here locally. We've got such a good group of people, and we all know it goes back to these ladies in here that really run this thing day to day. They are so important and do a good job. And again, I'll go back to the fact if somebody calls over here, we're going to answer the phone. So that's something that's not going to change, but just a local community bank. Waco's lucky to have several of those, and we're glad to be part of the community.
Ricky, as always, it's a pleasure. Appreciate your time today. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Talk to you later. That is